reality.
That's why I say Donald creates his own reality. That's the most, if you want to understand Donald Trump, if he says it's true, he's thinking it's true at the moment, not because it is, but because it'll get what he wants out of you. Donald creates his own reality.
And I think it's one reason why, even though fact checkers, you know, point out over and over and over again, no, that's not true. No, that's not true. That's wrong. That's, he did support the Iraq War. It doesn't matter in his kind of conception of the world, because he does create this reality, right?
Exactly right.
Fusion writes, who pays more in taxes than Trump? Undocumented immigrants, retired veterans, single people making $15,000 a year.
Somebody sent me an email last night saying that the Clinton campaign should make up signs and just pass them out to their at their rallies that says, I pay more taxes than Donald Trump. And a lot of people probably could hold up those signs.
Do you feel that there is a threat to freedom of the press now more than you've seen in many, many years?
I think that Mr. Trump, especially given the positions he's staked out over the course of this campaign and his whole lifetime, would represent a really significant threat to the tradition of an independent free press in the United States. I think the way he reacted to this story is particularly chilling to me as a journalist. I just have never seen someone take the kind of position that he took.
Amy, we've had a well-financed 40-year campaign to discredit the press. There are these bumper stickers in America, you know, don't trust the liberal press. No, trust the news organizations that just make it up. And I think Donald Trump represents a clear and present danger to the liberties of the people, to the idea of the First Amendment. By his own words, he's made it very clear, if he were president, he would do everything he could to suppress any speech that he doesn't agree with or he sees as damaging to what he's doing. And he would have not just his finger on the button, but he would have the full powers of federal law enforcement. I also think that would provoke a constitutional crisis. I certainly hope it would provoke a constitutional crisis. But this is a real serious problem that Trump is exploiting.
He would clearly do all he could to weaken our defenses against libel lawsuits. Right. He's brought 5 libel lawsuits himself. He sued the architecture critic for the Chicago Tribune for
because he didn't like his opinion.
He didn't like his opinion.
And opinions are totally protected.
So, I mean, those are the kinds of, you know, those are the kinds of judgments that make you really wonder, what does he understand about our tradition of a free press?
We have to leave it there. I want to thank you both for being with us. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist David Barstow, who led the New York Times team that published the explosive report on Donald Trump's tax returns, and David K. Johnston, author of The Making of Donald Trump. That does it for our broadcast. We'll be broadcasting tonight the vice presidential debate. Check democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Did you know that there is a peace and justice group located in your community? North Country Peace Group meets every Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon on the corner of 25A and Bennett's Road in Setauket. We are a group of activists working on a variety of issues, including stopping perpetual war, keeping corporate money out of politics, gun control, and inequality. Stop by, show your support, and let's continue the revolution together.
Thunderstorms produce lightning and are dangerous. Lightning often strikes as far as 10 miles away from any rainfall. Many deaths from lightning occur ahead of the storm, so don't wait until the last minute before seeking shelter. Remember, you are in danger from lightning if you can hear thunder. Learn more about lightning safety at www.lightningsafety.noaa.gov. Lightning kills. Play it safe. This message brought to you by the Iowa High School Athletic Association and your local National Weather Service office.
Yeah, that is definitely going to be useful coming up here. And I know people down in Haiti are looking out for lightning. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
Can I just break in here and ask a question? Why is the High School, Iowa High School Athletic Department or whatever, how are they responsible for lightning? Why do they get to do that? Did you notice that? At the end, they just slipped that in there. Something to do with the Iowa. It's got nothing to do with athletics.
Hold on. Let's see if Lightning 2, that was Lightning 3, Lightning 2 might...
Strikes twice,
see
yeah.
See if they talk about it.
Strikes someone near you, take prompt action to save the victim's life. Give first aid immediately and get medical attention as quickly as possible by calling 911. People struck by lightning carry no electrical charge and are not a danger to those providing first aid. Remember, you are in danger from lightning if you can hear thunder. Lightning kills. Play it safe. This message is brought to you by the Iowa High School Athletic Association and your local National Weather Service office.
Now, what do Iowa high schools have to do with light? I don't get it. I want to find out more about Iowa High School Athletic. There's just so much wrong with this. Plus, you know, being struck by lightning is supposed to be a real rarity, and they're making it sound like it happens all the time, and that people are afraid of people who get struck by lightning. I've never known that.
Well, and it's also, I wonder, something to keep people inside. They just want to spread that fear. So no one enjoys weather, because weather can be enjoyable, but you got to play it safe.
If you were in Iowa, you'd want to stay inside too. No, I'm kidding.
So why wouldn't we produce? You know, that's a project. We need our own PSA for local lightning. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Neighborhood Suffolk County lightning.
No, Stony Brook lightning. That's all I'm saying. Stony Brook. You know, it's like my old high school in Setauket should be producing a nationwide public service announcement about lightning. You know, let alone Stony Brook University. But that's all I have to say. Let's start the show.
You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 on the frequency modulation band. We're also streaming live at WUSB.fm on the internet. You can also find information about playlists, shows, and ways to contribute. And now, it's approximately 6:03 p.m., and that can mean only one thing on a Tuesday evening. It's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Yes, good evening, everyone. This is Off the Wall. I'm Kyle, and to my right is Emmanuel. He's right there.
You don't have to tell them what direction I'm in, but yeah, I'm over here on the right-hand side. Not to start the show off by correcting you, Kyle, but at the top of the hour, after our initial banter, you said it's, what did you say, it's 6 o'clock in Stony Brook. This is WUSB, FM 90.0, all that stuff. And you said that can only mean one thing. It being 6 p.m. on a Tuesday, it's time for Off the Wall. Yeah, it's not always the case. In fact, next week at this time, you won't be able to say that because we won't be on the air next week at this time.
How dare they?
What happens?
Change that on us, and I just fed a lie.
Yeah, you did.
Complete lie.
You did, and you'll have to write up an explanation about that. Apologize, of course, and, you know, as if you mean it, and... we'll see where it goes. But, okay. Otherwise, things are fine. You noticed the date.
10-4.
10-4.
Roger that.
Well, okay. Since you brought it up, that's known as a 10 signal. We all have heard 10-4. They're known as brevity codes. Brevity codes.
Yeah, let's keep it brief.
And they represent common phrases in voice communication used by law enforcement and on citizens' band radio. Now, these codes were developed back in 1937, and then in 1974, they were expanded by none other than the same Iowa High School Athletic Association, because they have all the power, apparently. In 1974, I'm misreading it, the Association of Public Safety Communications Officials International.
I tried to slip that in there, didn't you?
APCO.
I was going to say Smokey and the Bandit, but...
Well, I mean, that played a big part in it, actually. The CB craze of the 1970s.
Woohoo!
People found out what 10 codes meant. Well, actually, no, they didn't, really, because everybody knows 10-4. Everybody knows that one. All right. Okay, Kyle, I'm going to test you, because you're the only one here. What does 10-1 mean?
repeat.
Well, actually, that's not bad. That's a good guess. 10-1 means bad reception.
Yeah, I didn't get that. 10-1.
10-1. Yeah,
10-1.
10-1. But 10-1. If it's bad reception, how are they going to hear you say 10-1?
10-1.
And the whole reason they say 10 codes is because...
Well, there's more than 10, right?
Yeah, well, but they all begin with 10. I don't know why they begin with 10. They don't really...
Keep going.
Well, they only go into... they say they need for it to be a terse, concise, and standardized system. And I guess saying 10 is a good way to get attention. I don't think there's 9 codes. I don't think there are 11 codes. Only 10 codes. But 10-1, yeah, 10-1 means a bad reception. They initially came up with this because they wanted to reduce use of speech on the radio at a time when police radio channels were limited back in 1937. And credit for inventing the codes goes, of course, to Charlie Hopper, who was the communications director for the Illinois State Police District 10. In Passatum, Illinois. Passatum, Illinois.
Good people out there.
I don't know
people.
If I'm pronouncing that right. I'm probably not pronouncing
real
that right.
Real folksy.
Now, Hopper had been involved in radio for years, realized there was a need to abbreviate transmissions on state police bands. Experienced radio operators knew the first syllable of a transmission was frequently not understood because of quirks in early electronics technology. I like that excuse. Quirks in early electronics technology. So the first syllable was not understood. Radios in the 1930s were based on vacuum tubes powered by a small motor generator called a dynamotor. Dynamotor, yes. They took from a tenth to a quarter of a second to spin up to full power. Police officers were trained to push the microphone button, then pause briefly before speaking. However, sometimes they would forget to wait.
Like if they're losing their patience.
Yeah.
With a suspect or situation.
Or life, or, yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Preceding each code with 10 gave the radio transmitter time to reach full power. All right. So, you got the first one right, I think. 10-1, bad reception. 10-4 is, I acknowledge. And that's why you hear people say 10-4, affirmative copy.
Or copy that.
Copy that, but 10-4 for the 10 codes. What's 10-9, Kyle? 10-9.
10-9, oh, well, it's obvious that 10-9 is,
Actually, you had it right the first time. 10-9 is what you said 10-1 is, which is say again.
Okay, repeat. Come again.
But,
say
you know,
again,
yeah, 10-1, I guess you'd be asking them to say it again, too. Unless you're saying 10-1, let's just give up on the whole damn thing because it's not working.
Yeah, like if you're going to you thought you were going to have a conversation because you'd, you know, rendezvous and be in proximity for it, and then you realize the terrain or the conditions don't allow it, and you know that you're going to see the other person or otherwise have another way of trying again, so you just say, oh, it's a bad reception, and everybody goes their separate ways until the next attempt.
I think we could use some 10 codes around here because, yeah, that's an extremely verbose way of saying that. Maybe we should talk in code, Kyle.
Yes.
1020.
1020. I disagree with what you're saying.
No, that's not what 1020 means. Look, people ask, what's your 20? It means location. That's the other one that people know.
Okay,
so
yeah.
1020 means advised to location. But all the other ones, there's only three more.
Where the heck are you? Okay, I'll get all three of these.
All right, 1021. Nobody knows these. That's what I'm trying to say. Nobody knows these.
Please use that. 1021, I'm on the way to your location.
No, it means call. I don't know how you would use it in a sentence. If you give me a 1021, it's a one-syllable word. Why do you need to say 1021?
1021, so you're responding to a call. Okay, yeah, all right, all right. No, keep going.
1033.
I'm going to be late.
Well, maybe. It's an emergency. All units stand by. So if you're standing by for a long time, you'll be late.
Okay.
That's actually kind of cool because emergency number on campus is 333. So okay. We're kind of keyed into that.
Yeah. Right. Take note, students.
Yeah.
That's important information.
Oh, and I just had a question for you, Kyle, unrelated. What's the 1036 right now?
All clear.
All clear?
I don't know. What is...
I just asked you what time it is. 1036.
Oh.
And you give me all clear. What are you, yeah. A siren? Come on.
I don't know. I yeah. 615 or 1815.
So there's other codes, too. There's other 10 codes, but they vary by location, and everybody went nuts making up codes for all sorts of things. Donut has a code, I think. But there's also crime codes... penal code sections that they use sometimes, like 187 is homicide, 211 is robbery, 2600 is a huge problem, 415 is disturbance, 502 intoxicated driver. So if you ever see a cop referring to you as a 502, you know you got problems. 417 person with a weapon. 5150, mentally disturbed person, which is a reference to the California Welfare and Institutions Code. Okay, there we go. A little bit of education there, beginning of the show.
You were prepared.
I was. Well, I just noticed the date. You noticed the date right now, but I noticed the date an hour ago. It's 10-4, so I figured, hey, you know what? We're never going to get a chance to do this again. Why not talk about 10 codes for a little bit?
Of course. Well, and... Hey, I mean, Mike Pence, Tim Kaine.
Yeah, that's who they are. And they're all single syllable names.
Mike Pence, Tim Kaine.
Isn't that something? But the presidential, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, they get all the syllables.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let's not underestimate them. It doesn't make them, you know, simpler or no. This is pivotal. This
fine.
Is it. This is the thunder of all domes right here, right now.
Okay, but, you know, who are these people? We've seen their names. We've seen them occasionally. You know, Mike Pence, he looks like, you know, the captain on C-Lab 2021 or whatever. And Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine looks like a used car salesman who's not having a good day. That I'm sorry. I know that's not the best way to refer to him, but he's got that kind of ruffled, come on, give old Mel a break here.
Or like a character from Caddyshack or something.
Gil, I'm sorry. That's the guy from The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah. Give Gil a chance.
Yeah, every time I see him talking, I get the feeling, Gil, come on, this is a bad day for old Gil here. He really needs a break.
Down on my luck.
They can both, I think, make or break the race tonight, depending on how bad they do or how good they do. We were listening on the radio on the way in, and the commentator was saying that that Pence really has the difficult job because he not only has to sell himself, he has to somehow sell Trump. And
without sounding like he's apologizing nonstop.
Exactly. Not contradict him, which is something that even Trump can't manage to do.
And they've tried to frame him as not apologizing for him. But
yeah, basically. And he's going to be called on it. You better believe he's going to be called on some of the crazy things Trump has said. We don't have enough time. There's not enough time for all the crazy things. In the last week.
Yeah, it's you can't write fast enough.
The Trump Twitter storm of Friday morning, 3 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock in the morning. And as I've mentioned, I get his tweets now on my phone just, you know, for the sake of humor. But wow, this guy is going off on Miss Universe, which Hillary had brought up on Monday. Here it is Friday morning. He's still seething over that. This is really troubling symptoms for a commander in chief to have. But then you had the comments yesterday you made about veterans, about how post-traumatic stress syndrome
handle it.
Yeah, it's for people who can't handle it. It's for the weak.
The weak ones can't handle it.
I mean, is there anybody he has not disrespected and pissed off? Seriously, I don't think there is. I mean, he's probably said something about baseball players and astronauts, I'm sure veterinarians. I'm sure they're angry about something he said. You'd be hard pressed to find any groups that
babies definitely offended. Babies are offended.
Babies can't vote though, so
they have a lot of influence though.
This debate, unlike last week's, which we could also talk about, this one is taking place in Virginia, a place called Farmville. Well, isn't it a game in Facebook or something?
I think that is a game. Yeah. It's like a multiplayer or a role play or some kind of live action game.
But last week's debate, the presidential debate, the one that took place on Monday, we talked about it a little bit, but it took place at Hofstra University in Nassau County, right here on Long Island. And wow, you know, they got kind of exposed for ripping people off. You know, they were charging $200 to use Wi-Fi, and you couldn't use any other Wi-Fi. You had to use theirs. And if you wanted a lamp, you had to pay like $150. And they really were gouging people. And I just don't get it. You know, a university gets to host something like this. They should be giving away things for free. They should be happy, not trying to like make money off of it. And I just wonder, you know, not to get all nationalistic about schools, but why? Why does Hofstra, 3 elections in a row, Hofstra has hosted a debate?
They're private.
They're private. Yeah, you know what that means? That means of the universities on Long Island, there's Hofstra, there's Adelphi, there's LIU Post, which used to be known as CW Post. They all have 10,000 or less students. They all charge about $40,000 a year to go to. Here we've got 25,000 students at Stony Brook. We charge $8,000. Why don't we get to host the debate? You know, I promise we won't gouge people. We'll be nice. There's plenty of space and the questions will be better. I know because we'll moderate.
And there will be internet.
Yeah, there will be internet, of course.
Yeah, it won't even be a question. No, asking people to kindly leave because they turned their hotspot on their smartphone.
Yeah, did anyone get escorted out for turning on?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this on the other show, but the technical thing was they weren't actually jamming or disrupting communications, but they were asking people once they found them with RF detectors or access point detectors and asking them to stop or otherwise leave or so on. You know, at some hacker camps, when you have a rogue access point, they lock your access point in a cage.
Oh.
And I remember this one where they would only let you have the access point back if you got in the cage and they took a photo of you in the cage.
Well, they had to find your access point, your physical access
point.
Well,
the presumption was you would want it.
Uh-huh.
So once it was taken...
No, but they'd have to find it in order to take it in the first place.
Yeah, they would use a laptop or otherwise use the nodes on the network to figure it out because they already had a map of...
Wow.
When they did the install. So, yeah, rogue access points. It's not an unlikely thing, and some people were elaborating on that. We are aware of that as a phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Farmville is a farming simulation social network game developed by Zynga.
Who?
Zynga.
What does that mean? Is that a person? Is that an alien? What is that?
It's real.
Okay.
Apparently.
So when you typed Farmville into Wikipedia, that's the first thing that came up, or did Farmville, Virginia come up?
Oh, let's hit backspace or delete because it's an Apple. First thing came up. Yeah, okay, so it on Facebook is what came up, and then it in Wikipedia, and then their homepage slash to the product, then more, and yeah, the location probably only comes up if you put in Virginia.
Interesting. Wow. What if they had an actual debate in Farmville Facebook? That would be kind of cool. They have had Facebook-type things.
Interesting. No, you might have something there.
I think they should physically go there.
And people could wear the goggles, and they would just be there in the simulation.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That Google's coming out with... it's called Daydream.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait. What is this exactly? I know they're coming up with...
Virtual reality goggles, just like all the other ones that I said weren't going to happen this year.
The Google goggle thing. Whatever happened with that, you know?
Oh, no, they...
Or Google Glass. I'm sorry, I can't even get the
names right.
They put
that on the shelf. I think that's really high up on the shelf or really far back in the shelf. But these are, like, just little... You know the cardboard things? It's like that, but, like, more like a product. And it's going to be, like, you know, relatively inexpensive, but it's going to be more like a fabric thing that you would put your phone in to do all that VR stuff.
Well, Google's coming up with a competitor to Alexa.
Yeah, no, they're all kind of taking note. Everybody's trying to copy everybody else.
Uh-huh.
I heard Microsoft drop their wearable. They're not going to do the Microsoft Band anymore. People are trying, one company's trying another thing, and then they're all just, they abandon something. It's all so disposable.
Yeah, it is, as everything tends to be.
I like that. Debates in, it will be in virtual space. It will be in an arena, or it'll be in a space where everyone can be there. Can you imagine that? Like, everyone's virtually there.
Except I don't spend any time on Facebook, and I don't care to, and I'm sure I'd probably miss it if they did that.
Yeah, the more breathy I get, it doesn't get more exciting.
No. I do know, speaking of virtual debates, that the Donald Trump live tweet feed begins at 8:30 tonight. So I have to remember to turn my phone off because I just don't have the battery power to withstand that.
Did he, like, sleep in so he could start early?
You can't control this guy. You just cannot. I mean, can you imagine being on his campaign staff and having to worry about what he's going to do next? And how are you going to back out of that? We hear all these surrogates on radio and TV trying to come up with excuses, trying not to agree with the questioner that, yeah, that was an incredibly stupid thing to say and insensitive and offensive, trying to seem like they're reasonable people, but at the same time defending this idiot that keeps mouthing off and saying all kinds of horrible things, and in your conscience having to make peace with the fact that you could be making this guy the most powerful man on Earth that has pretty much the power to destroy the planet if he chooses to use it.
They have sold their souls to this, though. They are so committed that they don't even really have that much to say. They're just treading water, so to speak, like verbal water treading with what amounts to what I noticed this past weekend, and just it's really just this: any attack, any comment, anything that is said about them, they just simply turn right around and say that's what the other side is doing.
They will
do that.
Whether
it's immediately upon the accusation or a day later, they just deflect. That's all they're trying to do.
They always seem so angry, too, so pissed off all the time. They're in combat mode. Just watch them on any interview program, any news network. I mean, even Fox asks some questions now and then, and they're super defensive, and they're constantly interrupting, and they never actually say anything to address the issues that are being brought up. And they, as you said, they turn it around onto the other candidate, and a question about Donald Trump becomes, well, why not ask this of Hillary Clinton, who did this and this and this? And before you know it, the bus is going in a totally different direction, which is what they want to do in order to deflect any attention away from their candidate. You know, this is all going to be over in 5 weeks. Exactly 5 weeks from tonight is election night.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Oh, I can't stop thinking about that. Well, but actually, we're going to have to stop because we've just reached our quota. Yes, the new government policy came over by fax today.
Uh-huh.
And we're only allowed 20 minutes of political speech. It's a new policy. It's something we're still adjusting to here at WUSB, but I hope that was enough information about the current state of politics.
Well, you know me. I like to live by the rules, so what next?
Obedience is the most patriotic thing you can do.
And that's all I want to do is obey.
Yes, obey.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm sorry I didn't share the memo
No, you didn't share that with me, and that's all I have with me, so I have nothing, no other material.
Well,
I'm
do you
want
to just break the rule? I'll tear this up right now.
Uh-huh. That's on you.
Maybe you should do it.
I'm going to go into Champions League then until you figure out a way out of this mess and how we can spend the rest of the hour, which is our last hour of 2 weeks.
I just don't know what the fine is. I don't know what the recourse
is. I just want to point out the next time we're on the air, it'll be 3 weeks from election night, you know, and that's when panic will really set in. All right. Yeah. But let me update people on Champions League.
I think you should.
Our team is Sevilla. I think I said that right. It's a Spanish team. They won Europa League last year, or actually this year. They won it in May. They never stop playing football, okay? Every single month is some other league or championship or something. So it's not really a surprise that the Champions League began in July after it ended in May. And we are in what's known as the group stage right now. So Sevilla, as the champions of Europa League, automatically qualified for the group stage. And we are in, I believe, Group H. I think it's Group H. It's the last one in all the letters. We've played two games so far. We play a total of six. And the top two teams in our four-team division go on to the next round. And the third division team drops down to the Europa League. And then the fourth finishing team in the division is told to go home. So we've played two games. We played Juventus from Italy on September 14th to a 0-0 tie. And then last week, September 27th, we played Lyon from France and defeated them 1-0, which was an important game because defeating them puts us in second place. And and we have Zagreb, Dynamo Zagreb from Croatia to look forward to on October 18th, I believe. And I expect we'll win that one, and that puts us in a good state for the halfway point in the group stage. And that's all I have for Champions League.
We're gonna have to catch up. I'm behind. I haven't actually watched many of the games. I noticed you caught a little bit of it.
I recorded one. It was in Spanish though. But
are those full games or just
full
highlights?
Games? Absolutely okay. Full. You have to search for them. But they're out there. You can find them. It'll get more exciting as the months go by. And group stage ends in December, and then we move to various knockout stages.
Yeah, there's lots of ways. Lots of cool ways out there to catch some of these things.
Mm-hmm. And we started this well over a year ago with the FA Cup in England, and we took the team that progressed to Europa League and followed them the next year, and then the winner of the Europa League we're following into the Champions League. And then I don't think once they whoever wins the Champions League next May, I don't think there's anything beyond that. I don't think we're playing on other planets yet, but it takes 3 years to make a champion.
Well, then It's
worth the wait. And then there's World Cup to think about, but that's national.
Oh, man, that's coming around again.
Yeah, they're already qualifying for those.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. Can I talk about more of the candidates tonight? Because I have a story here that's kind of interesting. So you ripped it up. Does that mean that
go ahead.
The rules no longer apply?
Yeah, we're going to talk about politics, so deal with it.
Is that on TV, when you rip something up, that means it's null and void. And I've noticed in real life it doesn't work that way. If you rip up a contract, people generally say, what'd you do that for? It doesn't absolve you of anything. It just means you don't have the contract anymore, and I still have a copy. You know, and then they pursue legal action, and the whole thing drags on for a long time. If I was in front of a judge, I couldn't, you know, rip up the charges against me. That wouldn't work. Well, we'll see where this goes. Anyway, Mike Pence, as we've been pointing out, is Donald Trump's running mate in this year's presidential election. He drew the short straw for sure. Well, there's no other way. I mean, I would not want that job, would you?
I was going to say in life, but...
Well, maybe. I don't know. I think you really believe some of the things he says. He published articles urging employers not to hire gay employees when he was head of the Indiana Policy Review.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, back in the 1990s. Now, one such article published during his tenure reads, "Homosexuals are not as a group able-bodied. They are known to carry extremely high rates of disease, brought on because of the nature of their sexual practices and the promiscuity, which is a hallmark of their lifestyle."
Sounds like he's done his research.
So before you think, oh, you know, Trump is just, you know, a little out of his mind, but Pence is going to make things okay. No, this is the person that you would be voting for. Not a good person. Not a good person. And all the other people they would bring in would not be good people either. They would be those surrogates that we're talking about, the pissed off people on TV that don't know how to listen and are constantly interrupting people. Now, Pence has also fallen under scrutiny for publishing work in 1993, criticizing gay military members. Last year, as governor of Indiana, you might recall, he signed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which allows companies to discriminate against LGBT employees and customers based on firmly held religious beliefs. And he's proposed cutting funding for HIV treatment and using the money for gay cure therapy.
Which is totally flawed.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I got to rip something. That was his face. All right, I just ripped up his face. That feels good. People, seriously, if you're feeling at all bad tonight, find a picture of Pence, rip it up. Rip up his face. Go right down the neck. It's, I can't tell you. It's like a second wind now.
No, now I want one.
It doesn't work with Trump for some reason because it's, I don't know.
It already looks ripped up.
Yeah. It's, but these guys, they're the dark horses. You don't know what they're going to do.
And there's a lot of bluster about how they're going to come in swinging in the next two, three, second and third debate, mm-hmm. Both tonight and Trump's second attempt. And
the presidential debate next Sunday.
It's all hype. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see it. I hope she again mops the floors with them.
But whoa, hold on. Did we watch the same debate? Because the polls I saw, he won handily.
Those are internet polls.
Yeah, you know, I was talking about that last week, and I was very upset because that's what the polls were showing, and every single one of the internet polls was showing him winning quite handily. And that's become a talking point since. Everyone is showing the difference between an actual poll and an internet poll. And apparently, I don't participate in internet polls, but apparently you can vote over and over and over again, and obviously... people with time to waste apparently like Trump a lot more, and they just they do that.
Yeah, it's something that's an actual tool for measuring,
mm-hmm.
versus something that is like fun and playful and not at all something you can audit or go back and verify or match to any sort of credible scientific standard.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a lot of conflating of those tools for measuring, and it's Trump's favorite go-to when he's on his back or anything, is that the polls support him if no one else does. And for the most part, if you're actually looking at real work, real studies, these guys don't have it quite the way they say they do. So,
well, yeah, internet polls not to be believed nearly as much as actual scientific polls, but even those can be wrong. They can be flawed. I mean, for God's sake, in Colombia, people just voted against a peace deal after 50 years of civil war. You know, it was a no-brainer. Wow, let's end the civil war. Nah. Now, let's keep going. We're not happy with that. Of course, they're going to try and work something out and come up with a deal that I guess people will be happier with. But no one saw that coming. Brexit. People didn't really think that was going to happen either. So we cannot be complacent and assume that just because Trump bombed on the first debate or Hillary is ahead by 5 or even 10 points in scientific nationwide polls, that means this threat, this danger is past. It's not. And even if he loses in 5 weeks, that danger is not gone. That's still around us because he has millions and millions of supporters. And they believe whatever he tells them to believe. That's really true. He will say anything. He will come up with all kinds of nonsense, and they will simply swallow it. There's nothing to do with what's real. He'll say climate change was invented by the Chinese. They will buy that. He'll say that we're in a depression, and people will believe that. He'll accuse Hillary Clinton of all sorts of crazy things. And they'll just chant, lock her up, and it'll get worse.
It's like a cult.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that the vigilance is absolutely necessary. I was not at all trying to imply that this was in the bag, but I think that you have to take notice of that bluster over how much they think they're going to be strong or able to overcome what a lot of people or what looked like kind of his kind of undoing almost.
But the thing is, he has undone things so many times.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
I'm not debating. I'm just pointing out that. I mean, we can disagree if you want. You know, we can do the whole Trump surrogate thing.
No, let
me talk. Yeah, you had your chance to talk. Now it's my turn to talk. I'm
going
to interrupt what you say every single time.
It doesn't matter.
I
wasn't pointing that out.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I wasn't pointing that out at all to say that, you know, Hillary shouldn't do homework and Tim Kaine shouldn't, you know, bring some things up his sleeve, but whatever, you know, some actual skill to the table.
Mm-hmm.
But that is how it's trying to be. We're supposed to be afraid that Trump's going to get back into the ring. That's my point.
Okay. And we should be, right?
Yeah. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't be prepared and that we don't have some good points and some strength of our own to uh-huh. bring to the table. Okay. Scary, but it's not that scary.
Well, wait, what's not that scary? The prospect of 5 weeks from now Trump being elected, that's not scary?
Now you're jumping ahead.
Okay.
I would say that the one thing we could pull out of this whole thing,
mm-hmm.
forget the candidates and is that we are divided in a lot of ways and we need unity, and we will have to coexist with people that were under and are under that spell, that follow that cult, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're going to have to coexist, but...
We have to confront that.
But if people who believe the things that he is saying have any degree of power and influence and the ability to enact policy, there are some really tough times ahead. You know, a lot of progress that we've seen over the past however many years will simply grind to a halt or reverse entirely. And I don't think we should just compromise and let that happen. I think we need to fight a lot harder than we've been doing. That's why I'm especially angry with people that just want to fight amongst themselves and not take the battle to something a bit bigger and more ideological. Because... Try to imagine 5 weeks from tonight, if Trump is elected, what that will mean, to virtually every aspect of society, whether it's social justice, racial equality, health care, gender equality, everything you can possibly think of is all endangered. And at the very least, will have to be fought tooth and nail on every single step forward or backward. So it's a waste, a huge waste of our time to have to go through all that again, whereas we can continue moving in a direction and actually feel like we're getting somewhere and maybe actually get somewhere.
True. Yeah. Well, it's certainly also something you can be excited about, all the ways that progress and other positive outcomes with someone other than Trump in office,
mm-hmm.
I think we can try to be excited about that instead of just freaking out over how negative it would be if he was in office. Anyway, so be aware, they're gonna be prepared for the debate. Watch out. We'll have to make some plans to be prepared for that, and yeah, not totally choke.
I just go now. Don't think we can say any more to the people. I think we've.
I don't know.
If they're either listening or they're not, you know, it's. What more can we do? Yeah, you warn people about things for so long, and they just. They get struck by lightning anyway. You know, they don't pay attention to the warnings.
You can't just. You know, we're not. You don't. People trying to signal us, but it's not going to work.
No.
We know those tricks, and you need to just be with this. Cuz we got the message. We know that Trump's going to be prepared.
No, he's not. Wait, when did that message ever come across? He's not going to be prepared. He's going to do something stupid again. He's not going to have any mock debates or anything like that. He thinks he's ahead of Hillary on every level. He can just keep spewing his crap and insulting people. And there's a large number of people that love it, you know, that'll just follow him into the fire. And the question is, do we care enough to knock that down? It's really up to us. It's really up to people that are on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's... I think that he will be prepared, though, to be a jerk, right? I mean, on some level.
He doesn't have to prepare to be a jerk. He just is a jerk, and that will just happen magically any hour of the day. But, yeah, it's something that we have to... be vigilant about.
This is us being vigilant. Here we are. Yeah, we're aware. We know. Mm-hmm. We're ready for all the volleys and salvos and all of that. It's going to be terribly exciting.
Well, you don't sound very excited. I mean, it is going to be terribly exciting. It's going to be our undoing, perhaps. I mean, think about it. In 5 weeks, okay, you know, tell me what you think the country will be like if the worst thing does happen. What will happen? We've heard my imaginings of this, and we can open this up to listeners too if they have any ideas or advice or theories.
Yeah. I mean, if you know for sure that it's not going to be bad at all, and Trump's going to be, first thing he's going to do is congratulate Hillary on her loss. That's, I guess, what she does in a nice, clean campaign.
You know, that alone is something I can't even imagine. Who is going to concede and how? Can you see Hillary Clinton conceding to Donald Trump graciously? Can you see Donald Trump conceding to anyone graciously? You know, he has...
I don't think he knows that word.
No. So that alone is going to be epic right there. But what follows... That's I'm familiar with what will happen if Hillary Clinton wins, and I'm not thrilled. I'm not thrilled by what was called more of the same. But at least I know that it's going to be competent and something that we're likely going to survive. With Trump, I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen to us. So, shall we give out the phone number?
Yeah, it's 631-632-6901. If you're a student, you're on campus, it's 26901. Once again, it's 631-632-6901. Please call us. And we have some calls, so we're going to go quickly into delay. Please join us there. And we'll continue our conversation. Here, I'll bring the phone in now. That was a short ID. Hopefully there wasn't too much quiet. Let's take this call. Oh, yeah, and hello, you're talking to us on Off the Wall.
How's it going? It's Ruben.
Oh, you sound so good. Please continue. We're fascinated.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, there's one thing you guys are being tight-lipped about, perhaps. I don't know if you're being cautious or what, but what happened? The bounty you guys issued and these leaked tax documents that surfaced.
Oh, you know, we totally forgot about that, actually. We forgot to talk about that. So much has been going on. Yes, in fact, we did offer, 2600 Magazine, that is, offered a $10,000 reward or bounty or whatever you want to call it to anyone who would produce Donald Trump's tax return, most recent tax return, to us so that we could release it to the public. And, you know, all we did was tweet that a couple of times, and it made national news. So, yeah, I think that tells you something about people's interest in this, people's desire to get the truth, and how insane it is that something that is released by all candidates just as habit is something he's refusing to do and getting away with, and you have to wonder why that is. Now, obviously, hackers are blamed for everything under the sun, so why not this too? But in this particular case, getting the truth out, I think, would benefit everybody.
I absolutely agree with you, and I just wanted to commend you guys. I'm not on here to argue with you guys tonight. I just, as far as I'm concerned, I'm giving you guys all the credit.
Well, don't,
you guys,
that don't do that.
Would not have happened. other question, quick question. What about the Maker Faire? How did that go down? I didn't get to make it this year. I'm going to hang up unless you guys answer.
Okay, cool. Thanks for your call. 631-632-6901. Please give us a call if you'd like to join us on the air, share your thoughts, add a little wind to our sails on this whole final stretch of election hoopla. Anyway.